Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
The connection between Passover and the resurrection. And, you know, obviously last week was, you know, we're always a day ahead of the traditional church calendar, which is Palm Sunday. And we talked about how God had timed everything perfectly. God did everything with Jesus' life perfectly. Even his death was appointed on a particular day. Now, some of us don't know this. Let me pray before I go, and I'll go for a little bit and try to take it the whole time. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. And we thank you that you are the revealer of truth, and all the things that we know we only get from you. It's not because of great mind strength or understanding, but it's by revelation. And Lord, we just ask that you would give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us, because we don't know anything, as Paul said, but Jesus Christ and him crucified. So thank you for that fact, that we can recognize our limitations mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, so that we can learn to depend upon you for everything that we have in life. We thank you for this time, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So if, when you think about the timing of God, and unfortunately, because the church began to hate the Jewish people, how many know that the church ostracized, actually the church in 400 AD expelled every Jewish person from the church? And they didn't even realize. They basically, what they did was they instituted a rule that anybody that was circumcised could not be a member of the church. Well, by definition, that's all Jewish people. But not only by definition that is that all Jewish people, that's everybody, that's included Jesus. Because the scripture says Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day. So the church expelled Christ from the church. Not knowing, Paul, Peter, all the ones they sanctified or made saints or canonized, as they say, they expelled. And because of that, we've lost the connection between the festivals of the Old Testament, Passover, the first fruits, Pentecost, and all those things, because the church has rejected many of the teachings of the first fathers, for that matter. But we talked about last week that God's calendar, if you go back to Exodus, and I won't go to, I'll give you the passages. If you go to Exodus, let's see here. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 through 13, and then Leviticus 23, 4 through 22. God set a timetable for the Messiah's death, burial, and resurrection in those feasts. We know that Jesus said, and the disciples asked him, where do you want us to eat the Passover meal? Right? Everybody knows that. And he said, go, and there's a building I want you to get. Now, Passover starts, according to the traditional Jewish calendar, the night before the actual Passover day. So when they ate the Passover meal, it was the day before Passover. And that's when they instituted what we call the Lord's Supper, with the wine and the bread. And how many know it wasn't bread like we eat it? What was it? It was unleavened bread, what's commonly referred to today as matzah. Okay? So what we would normally call like crackers. I'm sure, how many have had matzah before? It's kind of a dull-tasting cracker. It doesn't have any salt on it or anything. So he institutes that, and the unleavened bread. Now, we know what leaven meant, right? What does leaven mean in the Bible? It's a type of sin. The Bible says, and I think it's 1 or 2 Corinthians, remove all leaven of malice and all these kinds of things, because leaven is a type of sin or self-nature, if you will. Because leaven puffs up, and that's pride, people in pride. So during the feast of Passover, you have Passover, then you have 7 days of unleavened bread, a feast of unleavened bread. And then in the middle of that, you have the day of the feast of first fruits. And so the 10th of Nisan, which is 4 days before or 5 days before the Passover, the Bible says the Jewish people were supposed to go out, get the lamb that they were going to kill, and bring it to their house. Now think about this. They brought a lamb, which is a year old lamb. You know, I don't know if you guys have ever seen a small lamb, but they're kind of cute at a year. And they're like pets. So God says, go get this lamb, bring it into your house, and get familiar with this lamb for the next 4 days. So that when you kill it, you'll have a connection to it. Now, we normally refer to Palm Sunday as the week before the crucifixion, but Palm Sunday is actually the 10th of Nisan, which is 4 days. If you go, and we tracked this last week, Jesus came into the city, 2 days passed, and then they said, in 2 days from that date was the Passover. So Jesus came into Jerusalem on the 10th of Nisan. Can you listen? Are you listening? Precise timing of God. It's not like, oh, it's the 10th of Nisan. No, God has these dates timed. And then right after the 4th, the pre-Passover meal, Jesus is arrested at night, right? Because he tells Peter, what? When the cock crows 3 times, which means the cock is what? Tells you when it's morning, right? So it's night when he's arrested. He's arrested. And then he goes on trial all night, and then he's crucified on Passover, the day they offer the Passover sacrifice in the temple. He's crucified on the hill. That very same day. And according to Leviticus 23, the day after the Sabbath, which is Saturday, is the date of first fruits, which is Sunday. What day did Jesus rise from the dead? Sunday after the Passover, then there's the Sabbath. Because, and this is where a lot of people get confused, because that's why we think Jesus was crucified on a Friday, because they talk about there was a Sabbath. Remember they say, because the next day was the preparation of the Sabbath. That was not the Saturday Sabbath. That was the first fruit Sabbath. Because if you go to Leviticus, it tells you, you cannot work on the first day of first fruits. So the Sabbath was not the Saturday, but it was the first fruit, first day. Are you with me? The Feast of Unleavened Bread, first day. So we have a week of 7 days of unleavened bread where you were required to get the leaven out of your house. Leaven is sin, right? Jesus died to do what? To take away the sin from our houses. This house, the temple. So God precisely had these days, and because We've in the church traditionally have rejected this, we've lost this truth. Because now we just, how many knew that the Catholic Church, and I don't mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not slamming the Catholic Church. They've done enough to harm themselves. But they're the ones that set the Easter date. When in fact, God had already set Passover. Matter of fact, the early church celebrated Passover, Resurrection Day on Passover because they were all Jewish. Remember, who's the first Gentile believer? Anybody know? No, not Paul. Cornelius. And Paul had to be dragged, kicking and screaming, just to go to his house. He had to get a vision three times, not just once. He had to get it three times because he says, I don't deal with them folk. And then when he got there, after the visions, he says, you know what? We're not supposed to be here. He's still trying to get himself ready for this thing. And he was smart enough to bring people along because he knew he was going to have problems when he got back to Jerusalem. Because the first thing they said to him, you went amongst the Gentiles and you ate with them. That was grounds for ostracism. But then because the Holy Ghost fell on them, he says, I understand now. God makes no distinction between Jew or Gentile. But so the point is, we miss things that God has revealed to us. And the Passover is such a beautiful picture of the gospel in the Old Testament. And this is why, and the Jewish people to this day still celebrate Passover, not like it used to be. And the reason why they cannot celebrate it like it used to be is because they don't have the temple. The temple is the place where sacrifices are offered. Now, let me just say this too about the temple. It's not a coincidence that the temple was destroyed 30 years after Jesus died. It's not a coincidence. Why is it not a coincidence? Because the scripture said there was now no more need for any more sacrifices. Jesus was the sacrifice. So if they embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ, sacrifices no longer are necessary. But now they're still trying to celebrate a Passover based on old temple worship. And so that's why the scripture talks about they're blinded. And I was going to go through the Seder today because I did the first part about Passover last week, and we're going to talk about the Seder. But let me just put up on the screen real quick, Mike. Let me find my pointer here. I didn't lose it. This is the first time I could use my pointer. Now I can't find it. All right. Yeah, okay. So how many have ever gone through? I know, Pastor Nate, you've been through a Seder, right? Passover Seder. This is what's called the Seder plate. This is something that they do at every Passover. All right? All these items represent something. This right here looks like a chicken bone. And it might be. They said when I was looking up this stuff, it's either a lamb bone or a chicken bone that represents the lamb that was sacrificed when they left Jerusalem. Egypt. Now remember why? A lot of people forget that Egyptians held them in slavery. And of course we know that Pharaoh is kind of like represents, and I don't mean that he was the devil, but like the kingdom of darkness that ruled God's people that were in bondage to the kingdom of darkness. And God sent judgment on Egypt, but you know what? They would have never left if they had not partaken of the Passover. Because had they not sacrificed the Passover lamb, what would have happened to them? They too would have been judged, which tells us as believers who are now enlightened, without the blood of the lamb, you're going to die in your sin like every other person that's going to die. So it wasn't the plagues that freed them, but it was the lamb. And they would have never left Jerusalem, or I keep saying Jerusalem, because Jerusalem didn't even exist at that time. It was called Jebus. They would have never left if they had not sacrificed the lamb. The other thing right here represents, this is a mixture of apples, nuts, and cinnamon. And this represents the mortar they used to build bricks. Remember the story? They were told to build bricks, and after Moses told them, let my people go, he said, you got to get the straw to build your own bricks now. You're not going to give you any straw. So this represents mortar. Now this is an egg, right? This would not have been used in the time of Jesus, because this represents offerings, the Passover offering that would have been offered in the temple. You might say, what in the world does an egg have to do with a Passover offering? And I had to look that up myself. I was like, Lord, help me here. I don't get that one. But he said the egg is something they eat at funerals or for mourning. And they're mourning until the time that the sacrifice is reinstituted. So this represents the sacrifice that they cannot give because the temple is no longer available. And like I said, that was not true in Jesus' day because they still had the temple. These are the bitter herbs that, and there's also supposed to be a bowl of salt water. The salt water, and that stands right here. The salt water are tears, or represent tears that they went through because of the bondage that they were under. This is, I think this is supposed to be horseradish. I don't know. I've never seen red horseradish, but I guess there are different colors. Somebody help me out here. Is there other color horseradish? I've only seen white horseradish. But this is supposed to be bitter herbs. This is the that also you dip into this stuff. And then the last one is obviously lettuce that they use as a dipping as well. So we know, remember when they say to Judas, they're trying to figure out who's the person that's going to betray him. And Jesus says, the one that we dip the sop and give to him, that's the one. Remember that story? That's a paraphrase, obviously. And so Jesus, now most of us thought he was talking about gravy. Am I right? Am I right? He said, We sop gravy. But no, it's the bowl of tears that he sticks the herbs in. Notice it's a bowl of tears because Jesus is mourning for Judas because of what Judas is about to do to him and what Jesus was about to go through. I mean, do you think that Jesus did not cry during that time? I mean, the Passion was on today. It'll probably be on all night now, the Passion of Christ. I mean, you know, I don't need to watch that too many times because I got it. I got it. But he dips it in the tears because it's going to cause weeping. And then from there, the Bible says Satan entered Judas and Judas leaves the building. And in the Passover, there's four cups of wine. One cup is a cup of offering. The Jewish people, if you go back, if you look at the book, and this also will help you help the book, the Old Testament. How many read Leviticus? It's like, okay, Lord, I'm going to read this, but I don't want to. But in Leviticus, they always talk about drink offerings and things of that nature. The first cup is a drink offering that's poured out in thanksgiving to being delivered from from bondage out of Egypt. The second cup is another cup of, let me get out of this lesson. Let me go to today's lesson. I'm just doing the highlights here. The second cup is a toast of thanksgiving for their deliverance. The third cup is the cup of redemption. Now, which one do you think Jesus used for communion? And what did he say about the cup? Be shed for the redemption of everybody's sin on purpose. These things are done on purpose. But because we've been closed out, we've missed some of this truth. And then he took, and there's another thing that I got to go back and cover. It's called the, was it, Pastor, you might be able to help me with this one. Akifomene or Akifo, what is it? Let me see, where is it here? It's called the dessert matzah. And the dessert matzah, let me see if I can't even read my own notes here. What happened with the dessert matzah, they wrapped it in a napkin. Listen to this. They wrap it in a napkin and they hide it. And then the young people find it, bring it, and guess what Jesus uses for the body? Wrapped in a napkin. It's not an accident. And he says, take, eat, this is my body. So he took the redemption cup and the hidden napkin laden matzah to represent himself. And I was witnessing to a Jewish guy on the corner, just down the street here. I think it was on Cloverdale and Rainier. And I was talking to him about Jesus. And he said to me, I don't like what Jesus did. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, he took the Seder and dedicated it to himself. Because he understood these things. So he saw what Jesus did, but he didn't accept it. You see that? It's like Naaman and the leper who would not accept the method of healing that Elisha gave to him. It's right in front of the Jewish people's faces, but they can't accept it because they're still waiting for the Davidic Messiah. And for those of us that don't understand, the Davidic Messiah is the guy that's coming down to rule and reign. That's the guy we're asking for now. Lord, please come. Bring thy kingdom come. Turn this world back to your kingdom again. That's what we're waiting for on the second visit. But the Joseph Messiah, the Messiah, the messianic type of Joseph, was what? Rejected by his brothers. And then he goes into a Gentile kingdom and is accepted by the Gentiles. Well, who are the Christians today? The majority. It's not the Jewish people. It's the Gentiles. And Jesus says, you won't see me again until you bow down and worship me and say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's what they did to Joseph. Now, they didn't say those words because that was not done yet. But they did. Joseph said, I saw a dream and I saw that they all bowed down to me. And they did do that. They came and they bowed down because they didn't recognize him as their brother. And so the types in the scripture are so vivid, as scripture says, even a child sees it. But because of pride and stubbornness and not willing, you know, people want their own way to salvation. Well, you know, you hear stuff like this today. Well, I don't think Jesus is the only way. You don't get a vote. You don't get a vote. He's like, I don't like that Savior. I want my own Savior. Well, then that Savior that you want will take you to his hell because he has no heaven to give you. So truth has to be embraced, accepted, once it's revealed. And so we see, and I'm going to have to close here. The last cup, and I want to say the last cup is a cup of praise. And the Bible says in Matthew 26, 28, they said in there it says, and Jesus sang a hymn. You guys all read that? They sang a hymn after Passover. And, you know, we probably thought he was singing Amazing Grace. But no, he was singing And this is the thing. They do this all the time. He was singing Psalms 115 through 118 and Psalms 136. So when you get an opportunity, go look at those Psalms. One of them specifically talks about, and I think it's Psalms 136, how Israel came out of Egypt and all the things that they did to get out of Egypt. So they constantly rehearsed. And the reason why, like I said, the Passover is a type of the gospel is because they're in bondage to Pharaoh. They can't get themselves out. Notice, they didn't get themselves out. Moses is raised up as a shadow Messiah. And so therefore comes, preaches deliverance, but people don't listen. But then judgment falls. But before they can go out, the Passover lamb has to be sacrificed. And there is, just like the scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And like he said, had they not shed the blood of that lamb, if they had said, like most folks would say today, I'm not killing my little lamb that I brought into my house. This is my pet. I don't want to kill my lamb. I mean, can you imagine that? I was telling somebody about this, you know, I was watching this old movie where this guy had a duck in his family and it was a pet, but it was also the Christmas duck. They killed the duck and they cooked the duck, but they didn't want Junior to know that it was the duck. And they're all said, oh, this is great duck and this is wonderful duck. And then Junior realized, hey, where's pet duck? And Junior wouldn't eat pet duck because pet duck was on the table. And he went, oh, you killed my pet. He was doing his thing. But get this, though. It wasn't enough that they killed the lamb. They had to eat it and eat it all. It says if you leave any of it to the overnight, it has to be burned. You got to eat it all, which means that you have to consume Christ and he has to become ingested in you before you can be delivered from bondage. These are the types and the pictures that we learn from the Passover. So we see that Jesus is the Messiah. And one last thing about the Passover is that they now traditionally do what's called the invisible guest, which is Elijah. Because the scripture says that Elijah will be the forerunner for the Messiah. And Jesus said, who was Elijah? John the Baptist. So they've missed both Elijah, because sometimes we think that Elijah is going to be reincarnated. Did you know that some people take that as an affirmation of reincarnation when the Bible says Elijah will come first? So yeah, see, that's why reincarnation. Elijah's going to be reincarnated. No. John was not Elijah, but Jesus called him Elijah. Okay, so let's get the reincarnation nonsense out. But that's where people try to justify it by scripture. So they welcome Elijah. He's the invisible guest at every Passover because they're still waiting for the fulfillment of Malachi 4, which said, before that great day comes, Elijah shall come first. So it's so important, and this helps us not only to understand the gospel, it helps us to be able to share the gospel with Jewish people. Because a lot of what they do is traditional, but it's based on scripture, of course, but they can't see the rest of the story. Who used to say that? Paul Harvey used to say. But anyway, I'm done. Let's stand. So as we go through this resurrection day, and I don't like the word Easter anymore, but I don't hate on people who say it either. So let's not go with the extreme the other way. I ain't celebrating Easter no more. You know, we can go from one extreme to the other. Let's not do that. But I just say, you know, happy resurrection day. Because I was talking to my friend, and he was talking to his kids, And they couldn't even tell him what Easter meant. How are you going to live in America and not know what Easter means? I just turned the TV on, man. Come on now. I said, brother, man, I said, and I've been telling him, you need to go to church, man. You need to go to church. Stop messing around, and you need to get your kids. And then after that, he said, you know what? I need to go to church. But, you know, let's not get so silly about revelation, because it's not about division. It's about unity. And if somebody wants to say Happy Easter, don't say, not saying it, not saying it, I'm not doing it. Just Happy Easter to you too. And remember why we celebrate it. You know, he's risen. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this word. We just pray that you would give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying to us, Lord. We thank you so much for what you've done. Gosh, words can't express what you've done for us and how you laid it out so plainly so that we could so easily see it. And Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your blessing upon our lives. I thank you for Victorious Life being a blessing to us tonight. And Lord, we take these words and we will run with them and do what you've called us to do. We thank you for this time of encouragement. We thank you, Lord, that you said you would always be with us, never leave us nor forsake us. And we thank you that your face is shining upon us and that you're gracious unto us. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you in the name of the Prince of Peace, who is soon to come, Jesus Christ our Lord. And everyone said, amen and amen. There's some refreshments back there. Help yourself. God bless you. And we will see you guys in the morning.
We appreciate you listening to today's message. If you would like to hear this message and others in its entirety, visit our website, newcreationwa.org. We have services on Saturday nights, and we would love for you to come out and join us at the Emerald City Bible Fellowship Building located at 7728 Rainer Avenue South, Seattle, Washington, 98118. For questions or comments, call us at 425-686-8197. You can be made new in Christ. God bless.